At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
See, this is with so many people, like so many things in life, not just with working out. A lot of times when it gets the hardest, that's the moment you should be pushing.
Yeah.
Because it's, I always love saying this, I always will say that. There is this big wall of fear that we start like building up all, throughout our whole life from childhood. People telling you, you're not worth it, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not this. And you keep like going and building this big wall. And there it is, like this big wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start things and then you just see this big wall and you're like, oh no, I'm not worthy. I'm not this. Who the heck do I think I am that I could have this? No, why would I? Blah, blah. But once you keep pushing through that, you just tear this fucking wall down, and behind this wall, there is beauty and like something magical waiting for you. You get rewarded for being disciplined and pushing through it. There's so much magic to that.
So feel me when I bring it.
Hi guys, it's your girl Nechama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to be here with Cece. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
This is so much fun. For so many reasons, my audience knows that I love to travel with my podcast. So to be in new spaces, especially when I could be supporting businesses, is the best. I am a brand ambassador for Chef Seaham.
Woo!
So just gonna throw that out there.
And yes.
We're right here in your home, in your basement, with all of your gorgeous clothes that you've designed. And not only that, but just being here and sitting like Moroccan style.
Yes, we gotta have
so
the whole
great
experience, right?
It's so great. I love it. I love it. I love anything cultural, so this is so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
That's so nice.
I love to talk about how we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Every guest, some of them are more of strangers than others, but
yeah.
I feel like even when I met you at the Babes in Business back, I want to say it was December.
Yes,
I think it was.
Was it December or January?
I think
something
it was December.
That.
And it was at Yanology.
Yeah.
And I remember we went around in a circle and we all were just like talking about how we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, I just thought you were so warm. You had the best energy. And Aries knows an Aries.
Exactly.
It was the fire. And like, you're so authentically yourself. You're so unafraid to be who you are. And like, when you step into your power, I feel like you give permission to other people to feel comfortable about who they are.
Hope.
Yeah.
What a compliment.
It's so true. Like, honestly, that first event, I knew I was sponsoring the coffee for the Babes in Business. I had no intention on staying. I really was just going to do the coffee and leave.
Really?
I didn't know what it was. I was like, okay, networking event, whatever. That's cute, I guess. But I walked in, Steph and Sarah from Yonology were the first people who I met. And I'm like, okay, I like the vibe. I like the vibe. And the store was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then the women who were there specifically at that event were just so real. And so authentic. And I was like, I think I just stepped into something really special.
So let's sit down and have a coffee, right? The coffee I made.
Moroccan tea.
Yeah, let's pour a Moroccan tea.
Okay.
Because nobody gets to my place without having a tea or food or anything.
Yeah.
So this is how you actually pour Moroccan tea.
So what makes Moroccan
go
tea
like this
special?
Sorry. Let's get you. You gotta do, like, we love the drama. You gotta go up all the way you can. It's always a competition in our culture. who gets it higher.
I love that.
So what makes a Moroccan tea, it is usually green tea with mint, with peppermint.
Oh, I love that.
That's right.
Yum.
Here we go.
That's so refreshing. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
What's the proper cheers? Is it cheers? Is it
bisaha? You say bisaha.
Bisaha.
Which means like with health.
I love that. I love that. To our health.
To us. To the podcast.
To Shopsiyam.
To the Jew from the Louvre.
Oh, that's lovely. Mm. And it's still warm too.
Right.
Even though it was a few minutes late.
Oops. That's okay. It's always good to have a
this
good Moroccan.
This is so
tea,
great.
Right? And you, oh, I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is so much fun. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So believe it or not, I mean, if anyone in the audience doesn't know at this point, I have my own coffee brand. And my love for coffee started at a really young age, but I was 9.
I love that.
But my love for tea started before that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
I started drinking tea when I was 7. It was a tradition with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Every Shabbos or Shabbat or our Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
Friday nights after the meal, my mom would make tea. And then eventually, you know, part of our culture is learning how to cook. You're in the kitchen with your mother, your grandmother, your aunts, your cousins, everybody. It's the best memories.
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
And when I was in 3rd grade,
mm-hmm.
my mom and I were watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a cup of coffee and it smelled so good. And I was like, I want a cup. And she's like, you're not going to like it. I said, I will. You'll see. And she said, I'll tell you what. Try some of mine. And if you like it, you can keep my cup and I'll make one for me. Or she's like, you can just, you know, taste it. If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very stubborn. It's the
Aries
energy.
You're like, for sure I like it. I told you so.
I had some and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had in my life.
Took it like an Aries.
But I did not let her know that. I was like, yeah, I love it. My mom's like, really? Because we have a family friend who, like, their daughter was a little older, and the mom and daughter were super close. They went and got pedicures. They got coffee. And my mom was like, that will be us.
Oh, my God.
And so she was like, yes, we've made it. And I didn't have the heart to tell her. And then for years, every Shabbos, Friday night, I would make her tea. And Saturday morning, she would make me coffee. And I acquired a taste for it. Now I love it. Obviously, it's my whole brand of business.
You
but, like,
to it.
Did I love it right away? No. But tea? Tea's where it started.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was never really a coffee person, but I have to admit that your coffee is first class.
That means the world to me.
It should, because I'm not a big coffee person, but I know a lot about coffee in general, but I don't know. It's just, it was never my thing. Believe it or not, with all this energy, it's no coffee.
I believe it.
Because you're an Aries.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Just blame everything on the Aries.
I mean, yeah, but it's a superpower at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I could ease into this, but mm-hmm. sometimes I like the drama, and I know you like the drama too a little bit.
Yes.
So I actually feel like this is a good way to ease into it, because a big part of who you are and what you give your charity to from your shop is to burn
survivors
and victims. So
yeah.
Let's talk
survivors.
A little bit about yours. I like that. You're right. It's
yeah.
not a victim. It's a survivor.
Yeah. It's a survivor, yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
So let's dive into that, because it was
ironically it was Moroccan tea.
So I was thinking about it. I'm like, should we? That's really how
you like,
it's
a bit grotesque. Or morbid.
And morbid.
Yeah,
or task.
Yeah,
I'll be
but,
above.
You know,
but I
you
like
know,
to. I
you
like,
can make life harder or easy, and you know.
I think that our stories are our decision on how we decide to tell them. You know,
yes.
Life is happening for
absolutely.
Us, not to us.
Exactly. It's not the tea's fault. Still a great tea.
Yeah, if you still make it now,
exactly.
Totally.
Yeah, so you want me to share the story?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was, I'm a burn survivor. I was a year old, like a little bit over a year, like 13 months to be exact. And we went to a friend's house, at my parents' friend's house. And it was a very rainy Saturday. And my parents actually were like kind of discussing, fighting, should we go, should we not go? And they ended up going because that friend, her husband was in the hospital. They wanted to go visit them. And so that's what we ended up doing. And then we were sitting in the living room. And my sister, who is like 4 years old, is playing with the daughter of the friend. and they're having like a bar, and it gets a little bit dangerous, you know, little kids. So my mom turns over to grab the bar, and she turns over to me, and I was sitting next to her, and I was burned. So what happened in that little second or whatever, the lady, like the friend, came out of the kitchen. She had Moroccan tea, fresh cooked, like on a tray like this, filled with sugar, because back in the days, it's still like a lot of people cook it with sugar, but back in the days, you add the sugar in it, like, has to be super sweet.
Yeah.
So she walks out with the tray on her hand like this, and then she sees me, and she says, I was about to fall from this chair. So she grabbed me with one hand, and the whole tray is like, falls on me.
Oh,
and... whew. And thank goodness my brother, which is 9 years older than me, he saw that and he kind of pushed the tea a little bit. So that's why it's not on my face, but you can see it here, and then you can actually see it here a little bit, and
yeah.
You can see it here, and then you can, I like have a lot on the inside of my legs. And was very dramatic, you know, Mediterraneans, Arabic people, like screaming, crying, police, everyone was called, and then... they had to get a helicopter to get me to a hospital and to the emergency room, actually. And then I ended up being 6 weeks in the ICU. And they were sure I'm not going to make it. It was, like, way too deep. Like, the hot tea that got completely glued on myself because of the sugar made it glued to my skin. And they, believe it or not, they said because I was such a fat baby, it saved my life. It kind of... didn't go all the way through my organs.
Yeah.
So thank goodness. So I always say, feed your babies. My mom is very proud of it, that I was such a fat baby. It saved my life. So
yeah.
So I was there and I felt like I'm not going to survive it. And then after 6 weeks, I think they switched me to a regular room and so on. And then
they survived.
Yes,
you're a survivor.
Yes,
that Aries energy, right?
You're gonna make it.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about it? You were so little.
No, thank goodness not.
Yeah,
I probably have some trauma,
like your
like
body
holding
remembers.
In my body maybe.
Yeah,
but thank goodness I don't remember anything. I just, you know, I would just say I have the feelings, the experiences that came with it automatically.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Also, there's afterwards, right?
That's
like,
what I mean, kind of. Yeah, like the afterwards, like
the burns don't go away.
Yeah.
So it's more about like. And I love how a big part of your whole persona is like the transformation, right? That's part of what you do now.
Yeah.
And it's from the inside out. So it's confidence. It's how you look. So do you feel like that was inspired because you grew up with the burns? So it was like.
It's a very good question. I would almost say yes and no. So I started the whole brand, like, because I'm from Germany and Europe, and every time I came back, like, we travel a lot overseas. So every time I came back from Europe, people were asking me, where did you get your clothes from? And I was like, oh, it's Europe. Like, Germany, Italy, you know, all, you name it, Paris,
yeah.
Like, all the classics. And then after a while, I was feeling really bad. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I cannot keep saying this. And I really think that St. Louis girls, they're really ready for some European fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at that time a stay-at-home mom with my beautiful babies. I always say I'm a mom first. And I was thinking, let's do it, like, naively. Let's start my business, an online business. And I go shopping. I like to vendors and get like European influenced clothes, like it's everything that looks very European to me. So that's how it started. And then I still was not sure. I was not like, it didn't really fulfill me all the way. So I was like, I was raised to always give back. I was like, how can I make this? Like, how can I give back? So believe it or not, very ignorant to my scars, like, oh, as if I don't even have scars, because that's how I feel. Like, until that point, I felt like I'm always very confident about my scars. I wear whatever I want to wear. I don't even care. And then I was like, okay, I want to give back, maybe kids with cancer, maybe I wanted to give back to kids somehow, because when you become a mom, you're like, just, oh, kids, the best thing.
Yeah.
And then one night I woke up, like, kind of in the middle of the night, and think, like, burn survivors. What about burn survivors? What about little girls, little boys who have been through the same thing? Is there even something? I'm like, so naive, like, really, like,
yeah.
So ignorant to the whole topic. I'm like, do I have to maybe start my own nonprofit for those kids? And of course, there's something out there. That's what I was saying, like, very ignorant. And I right away found someone in St. Louis or in the Midwest And I called them right away and I connected the store to that. So everyone who buys something from me, a part of it will be donated. That was the plan. And somehow it kind of blossomed from there. And people started reaching out to me if they can interview me about it. And then it started like really being fun. And then I really was about, I'm like, you know what? It's about time to really own my scars and step in front of the camera and actually not twist my leg, like basically actually showing off my scars. And I have a good friend who is also a burn survivor, and she modeled for me. And then the whole idea was born, like, hey, it's for all women. It's for women, especially women with scars, but also internal scars, because everybody goes through shit.
100%.
Beep! Everybody goes to beep!
You hear a lot of curse.
Okay, good. But also like the internal, like the external, and also diverse women. Obviously, I'm a diverse. I'm like born in Germany, but my mom is Moroccan and my dad is Tunisian. And so diversity is big, scars, body types, like different body types, which doesn't mean like that the classic model is not welcome. Like really every woman is welcome. Doesn't matter how you look. Like everyone has something beautiful on them.
And that's what drew me also to your brand, because obviously we connected in person.
Yes.
And loved your energy. I didn't really know much about you at that point, but I was like drawn towards you. You have such a warm energy. It's very magnetic. And then, because what happened was we all started following each other on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, I like this. This is fun. And
it
there's one particular reel where it was like all of your brand ambassadors and the energy. Like everyone just seemed like, I like the cohesiveness of it. Like it wasn't just very like, oh, Vogue, Cold, one person at a time. Like you could tell there was this collective energy.
Yeah.
And there was all different types of girls.
Yes.
And I saw that and I was like, just wanting to hype you up too and
you just
kind of congratulate you. So I messaged you, like, I think I commented all the reel, and I was like, I love this energy. And then you're like, so join us.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, especially, I told you to see your point with the woman diverse and different and fun. And it is actually like this because...
Yes, it is.
Yes. No, but it's like, a lot of times, like, people might think like, oh, like, we do this on purpose. No, every single woman is amazing and so authentic, and everyone is wisely chosen. You know what I mean? It's like not like
it's not
we
random.
Just like play. Yeah, it is really that vibe, that energy, that just when you get there, just something big happens all of a sudden when we get together.
Yeah, because this was our first time getting together just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the selfie room here in St. Louis.
Yes. Shout out to the selfie room.
Shout out to Heather. But yeah, the girls are so incredible. And like, even just like post afterwards, just like, I've got a little teary eyed even just today, like thinking about all the women there, because like, I want to have all the ambassadors on as guests. And we are actually, Esther and I are going to be meeting.
She's an angel, yeah.
She's so
she really is.
And it's
all
just,
of them.
All of them are, and they all have so many layers to them, which is what I really like too. Like they're all out here, not just being like influencers, but they're doing so much within their own careers and communities.
Exactly.
Like they truly are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
so great.
It is.
And like, even just in our own round table, when we were talking and you were like guiding us on what it means to be a brand ambassador and what your brand stands for, you were just hyping everybody up. And it was so great. And like
you,
even like there in the moment, you
mm-hmm.
see all the girls blossoming. And then everyone's jumping on your energy. And then we're all like working and like hyping each other up. Yeah.
No, I'm just, you know, I get like every time I sit there, I'm like, my heart is like, I maybe should be crying. You know, if I don't get it together, like I should be like, you know what I mean? But you're like, really, every single woman means the world to me.
Yeah.
And they're all just so special. Every single one, you included, you know, like every single one could sit there and talk hours for every, like,
true.
About every single person there.
Because they all have so much depth, too, you know?
Exactly. So it's really like, it's a movement, it's a sisterhood. It's like, it's so powerful.
And that's the key word, the sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as women, naturally, we are competitive.
Yes.
And I think it's just that natural instinct of like, who's going to be chosen?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person better than me?
Mm-hmm.
But when you can push that aside, when women get together,
mm-hmm.
and collaborate and create a sisterhood, that changes the world.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
It really does. And especially with those women, it is just... You know, like, what I don't like is a lot of time women say, I'm a girl's girl, and it is not the reality a lot of times, unfortunately. But with them, it's so honest and pure and real.
Yeah.
And there is no bullshit.
No.
There's no bullshit. There is no hatred. There's no hidden jealousy, which you unfortunately have to struggle a lot with if you have a business and you start getting successful in your business, then you kind of see who your real friends are.
Yeah.
And who are just there to
tear
you apart.
It's a blessing,
mm-hmm.
I've come to realize.
Yeah.
Because...
How do you see it? Tell me.
My perspective is, whether it's women, men, strangers, whoever it is, if someone's like hating on you or judging you for growing in whatever area it is, whether it's weight loss, whether it's fashion, whether it's your business, or having a family and having love, right? Or having the audacity to have all the above, right? Because
God forbid
you should have it all,
yes,
right?
God
we're
forbid,
supposed
yeah.
to have it all.
Yeah.
And the only thing stopping us from having everything our hearts desires is our own limiting beliefs. And once you get past that, magic can happen and everything just flows in alignment and it's glorious and everything happens when it's supposed to. I'm a big, big believer on that. But I love it because I want to make a difference in this world. And I do believe that everyone has the potential to do that. I don't think everyone will.
No.
Only because they stop themselves for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Everyone has so many reasons. Some of them are more legit than others.
Yeah.
But
it is also hard. I know. You know
it's hard.
It's hard to keep going every day and
yeah.
keeping a positive energy and, you know, positive mindset. But our brains are like, you know, you can train them. You can
yeah.
rewire your whole brain.
You can.
Yes.
At
it's
any
all habits.
Point.
Yes.
At
any
point.
Point.
You don't have to just be successful in your 20s, your 30s.
No.
Like, if there's any point
exactly.
in life that you can reshape yourself, have a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Totally where you come into that. just like plugging you here. But it's true. Like,
yeah,
I don't plug anything that's not true. Like,
yeah.
I say it because I believe it and I've seen it. And I have seen you in a lot of different environments. And I've seen the effects of the people around you. So I know that it's true. And that's why I'm a brand ambassador for you.
I love you.
Because it's true.
Thank you so much.
But I like when people are jealous of me. And I like when people share their disbelief or their negativity about things simply because A, now I know who not to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it's like, I feel sadness for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like, oh, I need to prove something to them or, oh, you know, haters gonna hate kind of thing. It's more of when I see people like that, I'm like, I just feel sorry for them because
what happened to why you that way?
Have you heard the quote, I don't worry about if other people's grass is greener because I'm too busy watering my own?
That's a great one.
You know?
But, you know, it's hard. I always fought that way. And then when you actually go through it, it kind of can shake you off a lot. Like, it makes you, like, question a lot, question yourself. And, like, I'm happy and glad to sit here and tell you that I couldn't give less a fuck about it. What's now I can say that, but like a while ago it was really tough on me, like, to actually go through it. And especially I would say because, like you said, you love when somebody's jealous of you. In my case, I've always felt like when people told me, Cece, I think like this person is jealous or so, I was like, they dreaming, because in my head I was thinking, there's nobody out there who would be ever jealous of Cece, of my little Cece, you know. Because me growing up, I mean, I was an immigrant child. I had different hair. I didn't have different skin color. Didn't really speak the language. And here I am also having scars, you know, all over my... But who would ever be jealous of me? And I feel like that was still a little bit, no matter how confident I looked, it was maybe still a little bit buried deep inside. So even if I got clues somebody might be jealous, I was like... probably just in my head. But you know, like, and then if somebody actually comes to you and tells you in your face, then you're like, whoa, what's happening? And then
yeah.
that was kind of you know, tough.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we had this conversation off
mm-hmm.
camera before about
mm-hmm.
jealousy and
mm-hmm.
like, I think jealousy in and of itself isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's
mm-hmm.
all, everything's energy. It's
mm-hmm.
just, what are you doing with it?
Yes.
So if I am jealous of someone, what is really happening is that it's showing that there's a lack where I want and desire something that they have. Exactly. And they just, maybe they brought it to life. Maybe they re-sparked it in that moment where I'm like, wait a minute. I see something that I want. I don't currently have it. Now, the question is, what are you going to do about it?
Yes.
That is your own responsibility.
We talked about that. You're right. And then
yeah.
I also told you my mom has this saying. She always told us, don't be jealous. Just go and do it. You know, if there is something about somebody who you feel like, oh my gosh, no, you know, don't sweat it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It just means you want something for yourself.
Right.
And then just go and do it and maybe even ask for help. Like,
yeah.
There's no strangers there, you know, like there's no enemies. You can just ask. And what better, like, compliment, seriously, is if somebody comes genuine, like from girl to girl, from woman to woman,
yeah.
and tells you, hey, I love what you did. Can you help me? I bet you that person will not say no.
Yeah.
You know, so.
For the most part, no.
No.
I don't really think I've ever experienced that.
No.
Most people are like, yeah, let me break this down for you. I'm like, you're still going to have your own personal journey. That's
yeah.
the case for everybody.
Yeah. yeah.
But I think it's just when you are a leader and when you are doing something impactful,
mm-hmm.
it's going to spark something in someone because it's energy, right?
Absolutely.
There has to be some sort of reactive. So either you're going to have the people who are aligning with you and you're drawing your people to you,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to have people who are like, I was comfortable. And you just made me realize that I desire something.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I didn't even know I desired it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then hopefully they go and get it if they're like too stubborn or too, you know, they don't want to ask you. Hopefully they go and get and find their peace.
Right. And like also the other thing is, I'm sure you've had people say this to you where they're like, oh, I could never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish I could.
But I would.
But I couldn't. But I can't.
Or I could never do this and this. And then you just say, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He just, yeah, because you can't. You know, I think somebody told him one day, I would never want to look like you. And he looked at him. He goes like, and you won't never look like me because what this takes, you will never be capable of doing. Yeah.
Never.
So.
Yeah. And I think that was such a big part of it too, because both with being like a brand ambassador slash influencer or like having your own fashion line or having like a coffee shop brand, you know, these are all fun jobs.
Yes.
And they look really easy
mm-hmm.
on the highlight reels on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And so like now being a part of the back end scene, oh my gosh, the work.
Oh my gosh.
I would not trade it for anything. So I've worked corporate. And, like, me working for someone else's dream is not my thing.
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure what my dream was. But,
mm-hmm.
like, once I did,
mm-hmm.
now
you make it happen.
I'm make it happen.
Yes.
You know?
I agree. You just make it happen. You wake up every day. You have your plan. You stay focused. And there will be bad days. And there will be good days. And hopefully more good than bad.
Yeah.
And you just keep going.
100%.
There's no alternative.
Yeah. You just have to have tenacity.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Have to have this burning desire. Because my favorite, I quoted this probably in every episode, but like Zig Ziglar has this quote where he says that if there is a business or a product that's not currently in existence
mm-hmm.
and you have an idea for it,
mm-hmm.
it is your moral obligation to make it a reality.
I love that.
And
that's great.
The moral obligation
mm-hmm.
part, that is what gets me through the hard times and the dark times, the times that I want to give up. Because it's like, the concept that I'm trying to create isn't so new under the sun. Like having a coffee
yeah.
shop isn't the newest concept at all by any means.
Most of the time, you know, most of the time you don't you're not inventing.
Nothing's
the wheel.
New under
yes,
the sun,
yes.
right?
You make it yourself.
But
yeah,
but me, I am my brand, right? Like
yes.
I am the only one who could bring this energy. Like there's only one CC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I wanted to tell you. Like growing up, part of like Jewish culture too,
mm-hmm.
a lot of women have fashion
yeah.
lines for themselves in
yeah.
their basements. They're selling clothes.
Yeah.
Modest Jewish Orthodox women have their own fashion trends because
oh my gosh.
We dress modestly.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not so much anymore, but back in the day.
Yeah.
And so there's like a whole world in the fashion world
yes.
within its own, right?
Yes. Also the Arabic culture.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so there's the brands that are like the Jewish brands.
Yes.
I'm sure there's the Arabic brands. It's so funny. People don't know about this.
Yeah.
And then you have people like you who like do it in their basement. And then like the community comes and people are shopping.
Yeah.
I've been to so many of those growing up. Mm-hmm. I have never been to one that has had the energy that yours did. Never.
I love you, girl.
I'm telling you, the women, the customers who you attract, and then also even just the idea of having like the brand ambassadors to like hype up your customers,
yeah.
and then having the food and
yeah.
the wine to just like really create that moment. Brilliant.
Thank you. But
yeah.
because it's more, it's not just about the fashion. It's about the whole transformation.
Yeah.
It's about having fun. It's about networking, getting to know each
Community.
Other. I always say like everybody help each other out. Like if you know, like it's such a giving kind of community.
It's so
you're here to give.
So
yeah.
cute.
You are here to give and that's it. Yeah.
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 And when you give, like if you want to feel fulfilled in this world,
mm-hmm.
you give.
That's the secret, yeah.
Yeah. So actually in Hebrew, the word for love is ahava,
mm-hmm.
and the root of the word is hav, which means to give. Because
mm-hmm.
if you want love, you give.
It's kind of like, feels like, woof, goosebumps, right? It's kind of like, in a higher level, it's kind of worth living. With this, like when you, it's like a secret kind of, like when you find out that it's actually about giving,
mm-hmm.
it makes you so happy.
Actually, to that point, going back to that first Babes in Business
mm-hmm.
thing, I'm really into Kabbalah. Are you familiar with Kabbalah at all?
A little bit, it's, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like the science of the soul, if you will. It's ancient Jewish wisdom, but it's not specifically tied to just Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what your religion or lack thereof is,
mm-hmm.
you will be it. Whatever your faith is, whatever your beliefs are, they'll be enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a blueprint to how to live this life and have like purpose and meaning. And it's that same concept we were talking about before, where like God, creator, source, whatever
mm-hmm.
speaks to you,
yeah.
he wants to give you everything in this world.
Yeah.
And the only thing stopping you is
yourself.
Yourself.
Absolutely.
And I love that. Going back to the thing of not being a victim,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, we're not victims.
We're not victims.
Yeah.
Our souls choose
mm-hmm.
everything we've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul chose
mm-hmm.
to be burnt.
Yeah. I guess.
yeah. It
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
That was part of the process. Like the impact that you've had.
Yeah. I mean, everything comes together at some
yeah.
point. You're like, oh my gosh, I never thought that I would be sitting here as a burn survivor, teaching women about fashion or about owning themselves and just live so wild and freely and embracing my scars.
Yeah.
So it, yeah, it all comes together kind of, if you feel like it. Yeah. Isn't it amazing?
It actually is so appropriate that you brought up Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because of what?
Your bodybuilding.
Say it again.
The bodybuilding.
You mean like because I'm an athlete now?
Yeah.
See, it's kind of funny because, like, I mean, everything can be so easy if you actually put your mind through it. If
Literally.
You work hard for it, you can make it happen. If you want it enough, you can make
yes.
it happen. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
by the way,
who would ever have guessed that I would be an athlete? So.
Who would have ever guessed that I'm climbing a mountain? I booked my ticket yesterday.
I know, I'm so proud of you. It's amazing.
I, yeah, for
you
those,
did yesterday?
I did just yesterday. I have a friend who loves to travel, and she always said, if you're going to go on a trip, book the flight. Everything else will fall into place.
Yeah, you figure it out later.
Once you book the flight, you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Exactly. That's, yeah. That's
so,
how
yeah.
you live your life. You just do it.
June 25th, 2025, I'm going to Istanbul.
Ooh! You would love it.
I'm so excited.
Enjoy the food.
Ah, the food, the culture, the people.
It.
I'm so excited.
It.
I'm so excited.
A lot to see.
So much.
Yeah.
You know what? When I went to Italy a few years ago, I was in awe. I was trying to slow down time and just process and take it all in. And I'm glad I went by myself because if I was with someone else, I would have been chit-chatting with them.
And not see the beauty of it.
Yeah, like I just would sit there and just drink wine and just watch. And it was a little lonely too, because like on one hand I wouldn't want to share it with someone, but on the other hand I'm like, I low-key love that I can just do what I want when I want.
Right.
But it's just like a part of me got a little sad because I was like, oh my God, I need to see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it will never be enough. I will never have enough time. You know what I mean? To truly experience a country and a culture, there will never be enough time. So I was like,
But you will be satisfied.
I will be satisfied with my little tastes
yes.
of the world.
Yes, you will be.
But you make big goals and then you reverse engineer them
mm-hmm.
and that's how you make it happen. So tell us about how you got into bodybuilding.
By the way.
Hmm.
So I feel like it was always a bucket list, especially through my husband, because
yeah.
he's a bodybuilder too, and he's all into all of this in the fitness world. So I was always like, yeah, someday I want to step on that stage and do it too, and I bet I can do it.
I love it.
And then I kept just like pushing it year by year, and then I turned 40, and I was like, what better year to do it than start my 40s doing this? So like, and if you know me, you know, if I say, like, if I speak something out loud, if I tell somebody I do something, I have to do it. It's the Mediterranean, the Aries, call it whatever, the Arabic, whatever it is in me. It's the stubbornness. I told you I have to do it.
Even if all of a sudden you decide, oh my God, I don't want to do it.
Exactly.
But you said it, now you have to do it.
There's no discussion anymore. What happens after it, if I stop after it, is different. But I told you I do it, I'm going to do it. So I decided I'm going to do it. And I really wanted to do it, and that was the reason I actually made it public. I'm like, I'm telling everybody now, I'm going to compete. And
so that you had to.
Like, oh gosh, now I have to. I told everybody. So, yeah. And then I got a coach, got a lot of help for
my
husband.
Was it your husband?
No, it was Jillian, actually. Momshell.
Okay.
Very great person, like great trainer, great person, just amazing. So I signed up with her because I also wanted like the woman's perspective of it. Like, what bikini should I be wearing? Like, my husband didn't know which bikini I should be wearing and what size and how to make everything work.
Because there's different types of competition within women's bodybuilding as well. I'm learning. My friend's going through this right now, so I'm learning.
Yeah, so you have like the bikini, and then you have wellness, and you have figure, bodybuilding, classic, physique, all of those like different categories goes like more and more muscular. And I competed in bikini, which I think is like, at that point was like the least muscular. Now they have a new division, which I'm super excited about, and I'm gonna compete in that. Oh my gosh, I said it loud again, so I have to compete again. But fit model is the new division, which is like really way less and very feminine and not so, like, I would say not as strongly developed muscles. You still work as hard, work out as hard, and you follow all the steps, but maybe more for newbies. So I'm very excited about that. So I signed up for it. I said I'm gonna do it, so I'm gonna do it now. And then I did all of this, went through it, and then they came by. It's just amazing. It's the best feeling because it's just easy science. You do it, you follow the steps, you eat surprisingly way more than people who have nothing to do with it think. Everybody's like, oh, are you eating a lot of protein? Are you starving? Like, no, I'm actually overfed. I'm like, I wish I could eat less. Like, I can't eat anymore. It's so much like focused on like what to eat, when to eat. It was more like stressful with running a business and being a mom and doing all those things. And then like,
it's just time management at that point.
Yeah, it took a while. But once I got into the groove, I would say, it was amazing because meal was prepped, everything was prepped, everything was predictable. Then it was actually very helpful even as a busy person to just, I know exactly what I'm going to eat. I know all of
that's
it.
That's what's so inspiring. Like, there's so many things about your story with this that's so inspiring. But like, business owner, wife, mom, just turned 40, like all these things, each one of those alone are excuses that people give to not do it. You know what I mean?
That's true. Never thought about it.
And then you put them all together and you're like, that's crazy.
I know. Somehow I'm crazy, I guess.
But, you know, are you familiar with 75 Hard with Andy?
I am. And it is funny because I have a good friend of mine who told me back in the days about it. Like, not too long ago, she told me about it. And she was like talking to me about it. And I'm like, why are you not competing? It's kind of the same thing as going through a prep. You're doing almost the whole same thing. And I look at her and like, why are you not competing? And she's like, what do you mean? Told you everything, she competed, and she actually turned pro, like, very fast. And I'm like, told you so.
Because it's the discipline.
It is.
So I did 75 Hard for the first time, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
So why didn't you not compete?
I didn't even know about that world back then.
I'm just kidding. I'll wait. Yeah.
But, like, for me, the most amazing thing about 75 Hard was the people who weren't doing it, who I told I was doing it, who freaked out. That was the wildest thing to me too. It's like, whether I'm doing it or not doing it, the amount of people who are like, oh, I could never. I didn't ask you.
Move on.
I didn't ask
keep
you.
Going.
Like,
I'm not doing it. Like,
I know. All those opinions. And like, it was so wild to me. Like, and the reasons why people said they wouldn't do it to me were not big enough deal breakers.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't want to do it. And I think that's my biggest thing. When people say I can't do something, I'm like, just say you don't want to.
Yeah.
That's fine. You don't have to.
Exactly.
But to say you can't, I'm so bad at remembering sometimes who says what, but there was a quote that says, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. I mean, you kind of speak your reality into your, like, into the universe. If
mm-hmm.
you say you cannot do it, you for sure cannot do it.
You'll never
yes.
be able to do it. You're
yeah.
blocking yourself.
Yes.
You know?
It's all a mindset.
Yeah. And then, like, the first time you ever do something that was, like, in your mind, like, really hard, and then you do it, you're like, wait, what else can I do?
Yeah, it's almost scary because it almost feels like
you could do anything.
Not even bad.
No, it was
people
like
just don't try things.
You're
like,
literally
that's you think.
It goes back to what we were saying about the only reason why you can't have what you want is because of yourself.
Yes.
So then you're like, what else am I limiting myself on?
Oh yeah.
What
bro.
Else can I get?
Yeah.
And so like 75 hard, the things that I heard people talk the most about, even my mom, it took me years to get her to calm down about it. She was just like, wow, I just don't think it's healthy that you're working out for 45 minutes twice a day. And
no.
I'm like, you're alive and awake for 24 hours, and if you're only moving for 45 minutes, I was like, she's a first grade teacher. She's walking all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Ma, it's totally different for you, but like majority of people right now sit at a desk
yeah.
for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And then they come home, they sit in traffic to come home.
Yes.
They come home and then they veg for hours.
Mm-hmm.
They're
exactly.
barely moving. Maybe like 5% of them
mm-hmm.
go to the gym.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
It's like, it's so sad because a lot of people are used to the feeling of not feeling good. They think it's
yeah.
normal to not feel your best.
And I will say, like, I could speak from the other perspective because I'm on a health journey, and I started using food as like an emotional crutch when I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back at pictures of myself when I was a little kid, and I wasn't like a fat kid
mm-hmm.
when I was like 9 and younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was only when I started getting bullied that I started like turning towards food for that.
Yeah.
And then food is also a big part of my culture. We eat when we're happy, we eat when we're sad, we eat when we get together.
Yes.
Like, it's
absolutely,
just,
yeah.
and you know, it always has some auntie or grandmother who's like, are you hungry? Do you want something?
Sit down, eat something.
Yeah.
Let's eat something first.
Yeah, like, you're actually hurting my feelings if you don't eat something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, something like that.
Absolutely.
And so it just kind of got out of hand. And I think, I know this is going to sound weird, but I think I was just afraid to be in shape and to be beautiful. I've never actually said this, like, I don't think, like, out loud or on camera, but I'll say it now. There are certain people in my life,
mm-hmm.
not me, who were sexually molested.
Oh, my God.
And I think a part of me somehow came to this conclusion that if I was skinny and pretty, that it would happen to me, too.
Oh,
so it was almost a way of, like, protecting myself. Because, like, I remember my mom told me this. It was so, I don't know why someone said this to her, but, like, there was, like, a few men in the community who, when I was, like, little, like, 3 or 4, they told my mom, they're like, you should work on modesty with your daughter because when she gets older, she's going to be really beautiful and, like, all the guys are going to want her and it's going to be an issue.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think there was just that combined with just, like, you know, as a woman, as a girl, there's, like, some men, they're just kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And, like, then just hearing about, like, people getting molested. I've known about people whose own fathers have molested them. And, like, when that happens, like, you don't feel safe anywhere,
no.
you know? And so, like, it just made me, I think, be afraid. And all these years, starting when I was, like, 21, I started going on this health journey where, like, I was going to the gym
mm-hmm.
5-6 days a week. And I was working really, really hard. And some days I was doing 75 hard. I was doing yoga. But I wasn't seeing the physical results because I was still eating so much food,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, like, you can't outrun your fork.
Yeah.
So in the end of the day, I think there was just still a part of me that was, like, afraid to let go. And then I had a coach who was, like, trying to help me understand, like, the deeper emotional
mm-hmm.
part of it.
Why you're not
right
where you want to be. Yeah.
And I think the people pleaser in me was, like, trying to come with, everyone's like, what's your why? Why are you trying to do what you're doing? And at first I was like, well, I'm doing it because you're only young once. And if I have this body, like, and I'm healthy for the most part, like, I should just, you know,
mm-hmm.
have the best body possible. Or
the classic answer, kind of, like,
right.
everybody wants to hear.
Or, like, I'm doing it for my dad who was sick and he can't move like this. You're
mm-hmm.
like, and then I just literally just a few weeks ago, obviously I'm going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, so I have to be healthy.
So proud of you, yeah.
Thanks. And so, like, I literally don't have a choice. For the first time in my life, like, I need to get in shape because
mm-hmm.
I'm spending a lot of money and going all the way across the world,
yeah.
and there is no way that I'm not getting to the top of that
yeah.
mountain.
Yeah.
And I just met with the guy who, Cody, shout out to you, you're coming on my podcast. he's in very good shape. And he said it was the hardest physical, intellectual, spiritual thing he's ever done. So I'm like, okay, I can't bullshit around. Like, I need to do my best to train for this. And
yeah, sometimes you need to kick in your ass.
I do, but I also have a why now, and it's super shallow, but I love it. And
tell
it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I just want to be hot.
Yeah, I just do.
Like,
I love that.
It's not.
There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing deeper.
No.
I don't have a deeper thing. I just want to be hot. Like, I'm just tired of dimming my light. And I think that was a big part of, like, becoming a brand ambassador for you. And then just my whole era of my life right now. Like, I'm done not shining and thinking about other people and giving the answers that other people want to hear. I'm trying to work out because I want to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
And on TikTok, I found Skinny Talk. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's all these girls who are basically like cutting through the bullshit. And they're like, you're not a dog. Don't reward yourself with food.
Yeah.
And like, they're just like this. And they're just like, you think I'm walking because I enjoy this?
No.
No.
I
wouldn't be hot. And
see,
I
have a funny theory.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to my sister. Shout out to my sister, Bess. We talked about it. And there's some people who have to make the work from the inside to the outside.
Yeah.
Like going to a therapist and all this. And I'm a big fan. I went to therapy myself. But there is also some people out there who have to start from the outside to the inside.
Mm.
For some people, it's just not enough motivation to go from inside to the outside. It's just exactly how you say somebody's an extrovert, somebody's an introvert. Like, everybody is different.
Totally.
Some people need the outside first to become a better person.
Yeah.
They look good. They feel good. All of a sudden, they want to do good. Like, you know, like, everything is like, ah, it might mean beauty sometimes opens your doors. You need character to stay in.
Yes.
But you know what I mean?
I
but
do.
Sometimes it is like a little bit like different. Some people do the inner work and then become better person, and that kind of affects the outside. Then they really want to work on themselves and become this whole person. And it goes both ways. You want to be hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I've done the inner work.
Yes.
I'm hot in here.
Exactly.
I think I just like crushed the mic. I'm so sorry, people.
Yeah,
you turned.
We're getting very
just
Jewish
so
and Arabic in here. Getting
so
heated.
Powerful. Get out. I'm just like.
Are you not listening? We want to be hot.
I'm just like, I am hot on the inside already. I've done the work on the inside. I've been doing it for years. I'm confident on the inside. But it's like, love the love. But like, if you feel hot on the inside, but then you see a picture of yourself or your clothes don't fit the way you want them to, or there's an outfit that you want that your body doesn't fit into, or like, you know, whatever it is, it's just like, you look at yourself and like, that's not the me that I see when I'm energetically showing up in the
world. Exactly. You want to match it. Like,
right.
My inside is so beautiful. I want to match my outside. And,
literally.
And I have a whole, I don't want to say episode, but I have the Styling with Cece once a month. And one of those shows.
On KMOV, Channel 4.
Yes. Check it out. One of those is all about the psychology behind fashion.
Mm,
and this,
I love that.
Right? Because I'm just sick of people saying, oh, so superficial. Why do you care about what you're wearing? What do you care about this? First of all, you care to a certain point too. Otherwise, you would not choose
people,
the jeans you're wearing.
It matters.
Exactly. Number two is, I don't need to explain why I want to look a certain way. If it makes you feel good, it makes you feel good. And it makes you also do good.
Mm-hmm.
If you run around and you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, who's that, buddy? You know, it makes you just feel good.
I have a friend.
It's simple.
Literally, and I think sometimes as women, we need to look at men and like approach business, confidence, fitness, even the same way that they do, because they give zero fucks.
Mm-hmm.
I have one friend, and he's such a cool person. Shout out to you, Nick. he'll never watch this.
You're like name dropping all of them.
I know. But he says that he's never seen a mirror that he doesn't like.
I will adopt that, Nick.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
It's such a great thing, you know?
It is.
And
it's a very cool thing
and
to
the thing
think
of,
about yourself. That's
yeah.
great.
And the thing about being hot, too, is like, it's like what Arnold Schwarzenegger said, like when that guy was like, oh, I could never look at you. And he's like, you won't.
Yeah.
Because the thing is being hot isn't just, there's nothing superficial about it in the end of the day, because the discipline, the time management, and also like, once you start taking care of your body physically with the nutrition and the exercise, the sleep, the hydration, the brain fog goes away, your memory improves, your skin looks better, your energy is better. it's being hot is not a shallow thing at all. It is the best gift you can give yourself.
Yes.
You know,
we come back to that. We rewiring our brain.
Yeah,
and it lays in the daily habits that you create. That's why I always love telling people, fuck motivation. Nobody needs your motivation. Because one day you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm so motivated. Next day, I'm like, no, not doing it. It's rainy out there. I'm not going anywhere. But
yeah.
Just fuck the motivation. You need discipline, period.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people say that, but that's it. That's the key.
Yeah.
Discipline. Have your goal. Be, like, focused on what you want in life.
Right. And the cool thing about being hot is, like, they've done studies showing that people who are in better shape,
mm-hmm.
especially women,
mm-hmm.
will get better opportunities. And, like, I think it's more, I mean, I'm sure there is some part of it that it's just, like, we like pretty people and there is pretty privilege.
Yeah.
But I think it's also this subliminal message of, I respect myself. I have good time management.
Mm-hmm.
I am disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
I make good choices.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, there's so much, so many more layers. And it's not, like, again, it's not a superficial thing.
Yeah.
It's not, and beauty also is, like, very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about any classics.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, the way how you feel, like, your best, your most beautiful, it can be completely different than what I think. But
totally.
It's about how you see yourself and what you think it's hot.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
also, like, a very important part. You can, it's not about going there and saying, like, oh, I want to look like this and this superstar and I'm going to color my hair and get my surgeries done and blah.
Yeah.
No. It is, like, what you think is beautiful.
Right.
That's what you strive to be.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, like, I started running. That was, like, this part of my training for
mm-hmm.
Mount Kilimanjaro is getting my cardio
yes.
in the right place.
Yeah.
And, I'm so in love with running. I'm so in love with
That's
it.
Good.
Like, I mean, I think there's just so many analogies to working out, too. And I'm sure you felt that when you were on your bodybuilder
mm-hmm.
journey as well.
Yeah.
Is
still
that
am. I'm
you still
season.
Are. Yeah.
Yes.
Always a bodybuilder. Once a bodybuilder,
always
a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
But, like, I also think that, too, like, I feel like any bodybuilders I've ever met are the sweetest people.
I know.
They're like little teddy bears.
Right? You should come to my gym, House of Pain. Again, shout out to House of Pain.
Yeah.
Best gym out there. It's like, when you go in there, the name is scary. You think, like, oh, my gosh, too many, like, you know, people, muscular.
That'd be so fun. We
but
should work out together.
Yes, you should come with me. And then you talk to people. It's like
yeah.
such a social club. Sometimes I'm
that.
Like, oh, my gosh, I just have an hour. How do I get out there
mm-hmm.
with so many sweet people? Like, and I'm very chatty, you know?
Yeah. Well, what's funny is House of Pain in the Valley is
mm-hmm.
actually where Club Fitness is. And that was the first gym that I ever went to.
Ah, see? One more reason to come with me.
Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah, I think it's just, it's so incredible because there's just so much when you start taking care of yourself. Like, I think the reason why most people don't keep to it is because it's hard in the beginning. In the beginning, it's the hardest. And I was
yeah.
telling my mom, I'm like, this is the most ironic thing. I'm like, I am trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to be overweight anymore. And so, like, when I'm running,
mm-hmm.
it's harder for me because I have more weight. My cardio, my health is not where I want it to be.
Yeah.
But ironically, that's exactly the reason why I need to do it.
Exactly.
You know?
And people give up. See, this is with so many people, like so many things in life, not just with working out. A lot of times when it gets the hardest, that's the moment you should be pushing.
Yeah.
Because it's, I always love saying this, I know, always will say that, there is this big wall of fear that we start, like, building up throughout our whole life, from childhood, people telling you, you're not worth it, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not this, and you keep, like, going and building this big wall, and there it is, like, this big wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start things, and then you just see this big wall, and you're like, oh, no, I'm not worth it, I'm not this, who the heck do I think I am that I'm,
yeah.
I could have this, no, why would I, blah, blah. But once you keep pushing through that, you just tear this fucking wall down. And behind this wall, there is beauty and
mm-hmm.
like something magical waiting for you. You
yeah.
get rewarded for being disciplined and pushing through it. There's so much
yes.
magic to that. And especially, I feel like doing hard things comes so easy for me now, especially since I'm a mom.
Yeah.
Like having two wonderful...
Yeah, set the tone.
Them so much. It's just, I have to be fit. You know, at some point, I have to be fit. I want to be able and capable of, like, playing with my kids and running around and also showing them my best version, what is possible.
Yeah.
I became a mom. I was pregnant 34. I became a mom when I was 35, so I was not the youngest mom. I always wanted to be a mom, but it didn't work out, and I'm happy the way it worked out because I met the man of my dreams. Shout out to my husband, if not to him, who else? Mwah, JT,
Stubbs.
My big love. So everything happened for a reason.
Yeah.
So it is how it is. And we both want to be fit for our kids and also show them everything is possible. And seriously, I look to some people like I do a lot, really a lot. But to be honest, I do it like I run kind of my whole thing, my business from 10 till 3 p.m., like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. And then I go hard. As a mom, you go double or triple as hard because I know every second I have a day is valuable. So I get shit done because of my kids. Because I'm present and I'm going to be there no matter what.
It's a gift, you know?
Yeah.
I've had, like, through Moves in Business, there's been women who are, like, moms and wives.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come up to me and they'll be like, you're so lucky that you're in the stage of your life right now, that you don't have kids, you don't have a husband, like, you can just focus on you. And I'm like, to an extent, you're correct.
Yes.
But also, like, sometimes I don't have that driving pressure and force that you do. You know what I mean? Because your time management has to be that much better.
It has to be. It really has to be.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, you don't. Either you don't run a business or, like, for me especially.
Yeah.
I'm like, I always wanted to be a mom and I am a mom. And finally, you know, I've got what I really wanted the most in my life. And I would just feel miserable if I didn't, you know, get it done. I also went back to school to get all my degrees. I felt like I still want to do something for me, for myself, and fulfill my needs and dreams that I'm capable of actually be successful at something. So I did all of this, and now here I am. So I'd be doomed if I don't, you know, figure it somehow out to have both. So
yeah.
Yeah, as a mom, you make crazy things happen.
Superwoman.
I will say, like, podcasting has changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. Did I ever tell you how I got into it?
No, did not.
So I worked corporate. I've worked three corporate jobs. My second one, they gave us a $200 budget for the year to use towards a hobby.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
nice. Mm-hmm. It's basically their way of saying, we're sorry that you have a soul-sucking job and you're never going to get a raise, but here's $200. Have fun, kid.
Yeah. That's a way to see it.
Yeah.
Do you want more tea?
Yeah, we have some. Thank you.
Put it
here. I'll try to be proper.
Be ready. I'm not impressed. I hope my mom's proud.
This is very impressive. Everything about this, the chime, the
all
silver, it's just beautiful. Stunning.
Right? Cheers. Ching-ching. Bisaha.
Bisaha.
You say it good, it's the Hebrew.
It sure is.
Keep going, yeah. So you got them.
Yeah, so we had a $200 towards a hobby of our choice. And so many people didn't use it. But I'm Jewish, so give me free money, I'm going to use it.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like, come on. But I'm also bougie on a budget, right?
Yeah.
So I'll never let money stop me from getting what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. I'll
That's
figure it out.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I've loved podcasts as a consumer because I actually, when I first got introduced to them in my early 20s, I was like 22, 23,
mm-hmm.
by a guy coworker of mine. And
Joe Rogan, probably. I mean,
what he recommended?
He was listening, yeah,
probably. I don't even remember, but I just remember being like, this is so boring. And then a few weeks later, I went back to music. I'm like, I hate podcasts.
So it was probably not Joe Rogan.
I hated podcasts in the beginning. Like, I couldn't, I don't know if it was my ADD, but I couldn't work and listen to people talk. And
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, it was just super hard for me. And then I started blossoming. I started getting more chatty. And I had a coworker who I shared an office space with who didn't always have the best energy. And I was very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen to podcasts because then I had a friend.
Oh, you stop it.
That's the reason. That's, and so, but like, I'm the kind of person who, like, maybe it's the ADD in me, but, like, once I get intrigued by something, I, like, hyper-focus and want to understand everything about it.
You nerd out. You're, like, a nerd then.
A nerd?
Yeah, like, you nerd out about it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like my husband.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably why he's a bodybuilder, because anyone who's in the gym
is smartest person I've ever met. Like, seriously. Like,
no, so
he's
great.
Google. He's my running Google. No matter what you ask this guy, he has an answer. Like, and it doesn't matter if it's, like, fitness-related, if it's history-related.
That's what you need in a man.
I know. I'm like... And I love, he's also my calculator. I'm very good at math, but so many times I'm like, can you do the math real quickly? How, what is 27 plus 50, blah, blah, 65, blah, blah, when he's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what the heck, he's
right.
It's
so great.
He's amazing.
So great. I love that. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I know. I'm like, here we go. turned it all around to talk about him again. So,
hey, you know what? Do it. Own it. Love it. Appreciate every moment of it. You know, that's the other beauty of it too. Like, yeah, you did get this like awesome thing, but you earned everything in your life.
Thank you.
You worked for it. It didn't come when you were like in your 20s and came so natural. Like, there was a lot that went through it, and we didn't go through all of it on camera, but like, I know more about your back end story, and
yes,
I know the ups and downs that you've been through.
Yeah.
And you've been through the bad relationships, you've been through unfulfilling jobs, you've been through not, you know, people doubting you and not believing in you, and you're here and you're proving everyone wrong. And I love it.
It's amazing.
And it's helpful for me too, because you said something to me on our first coffee date that we had.
You almost cried.
You said to me, you're like, if there's, you know, everyone was telling you specific, like you had some aunties specifically with love who were saying you don't marry the man that you love. You'll have love in your life, but that's not the one you marry.
Yeah,
and you said to yourself, well, if there's a 1% chance, then I'm going to make that happen. And you did that.
Yes.
And you had, and some, like Kabbalah talks about this, that this is what faith is. It's certainty beyond logic. As in, there is nothing in the current status of your life right now that shows that what your heart is telling you to be true is real.
Yeah.
But it is real. And like,
it's what you decide.
If you, and I, this was something Kabbalah said too, that was just like, oh, I felt it in my heart. Because a lot of times we have desires.
Mm-hmm.
And those desires aren't fulfilled within the time frame that we would like them to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, maybe it's not meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we don't get it all.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just crazy and romanticizing life and I don't get happily ever after, whatever that means to
yeah.
you, not just with love,
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
But Kabbalah said that the fulfillment comes before the desire. In other words, you would never have a desire if it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. You never know what's good for you.
Yeah.
Until you have
and
it
that, that's,
you know
don't,
exactly
don't attach to a certain specific job
absolutely
or
not
person,
mm-hmm.
but it's more about like the esoteric concept of like, I am going to have a business. I'm going to be an athlete. I am going to have the love of my life. I'm going to be a mom. How, when, all these things are going to be, time will tell.
Yeah.
But if I have the desire, it has to come.
Yeah.
And
I think so too. And I think
yeah.
about, we have also a saying, it's like, you like, I think there's even a saying in the Bible also that says that it says like, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. Like, you speak it out to reality, and which doesn't mean you're not working for it. It's not you sit at home and wait until it happens.
No.
Sometimes it does. But to my sister, for example. But I was just saying, jokes aside, but you work
yeah.
for it. You go after it, and it happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think showing up and saying that you go after it doesn't necessarily mean that that specific action is going to equate to it.
Yeah.
There's this thing within Judaism too, that it's all about like how much faith you have.
Mm-hmm.
The more faith you have, the less you have to work.
Yeah.
But I love that.
Do you believe in that?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I'm like, I'm
yeah.
a princess. Like,
okay.
I had this conversation with someone recently where I'm like, yeah, I'm just a princess. And the guy was like, no, you're a queen. I'm like, absolutely not. That's a lot of responsibility. I want to just be spoiled.
I just, just want to be spoiled. Don't you put so much pressure on me.
That's a lot of responsibility, sir.
You're just spoiled.
Just
me
up.
I'm like, I was like ready for something completely different.
No, I do believe.
Oh my gosh, you're great. Sorry. It's of course easy. What are you thinking?
Oh, God.
No, I just think, like, there was always a stubborn little child in me and, like, a fire in me that, like, I just didn't believe what I didn't want to believe. Like, as like the story that you told, I think you got two things out of it. You got two stories in one.
Did I?
Yes, but it's good because it kind of goes together.
Okay.
The one was, I was in a car. I was very young and my aunt told me, Cece, I want to tell you something. And I want you to always remember, you will never end up with the love of your life, the person that you love the most. You will never end up marrying this person. Kind of
mm-hmm.
settle. That's what she's trying to tell
she
me.
She literally
settle.
Projected her own insecurities
exactly.
onto you.
And it's my favorite aunt. Like, still to this day, she's, like, amazing. But somehow, I didn't let it crush me. I'm such a hopeless romantic. I'm just
yeah.
a love hyper. I'm like, get so excited about
lover
love.
Girl.
Yes, so much that I'm like, inside, like, you don't, la, 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 la. I didn't even hear what
don't you tell me
if that's your life, great.
Yeah.
But that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not me.
So I think like that moment, I always remember it, but I feel like it never was like for me. And the other thing that you mentioned is I was in a very bad toxic relationship and I was on the other side of the world. I was in Australia and I woke up this morning and he was back in Germany. And I was like, how can I get out of this toxic relationship? Do I even want to get out? Am I the crazy one? Is he the crazy? Like all those questions. And I had this one moment where I was like in the morning glory laying there and thinking to myself, yeah, sure. He might be like, maybe I should just shut the fuck up and get married and I'm the problem. And I should maybe just accept that I'm never going to be happy again like I used to be. Maybe it's just a grown-up thing. Because I knew a lot of grown-ups who were just not super happy.
Totally.
You know?
Most
like,
of the
maybe
world.
This is like part of growing up. Now I'm 32.
Be realistic.
Yes. Maybe 32 is like, oh, that's it. And really sad thought. And then there was like this little tiny CC voice in me, the little fire that still was there, even if I felt like I'm completely destroyed at that point, that said like, but wait a minute. If there is a chance that you could be maybe happy again, yeah, of course, maybe you will single, maybe you break up, maybe you'll be single forever, maybe you will never have kids, maybe you will never make it. But if there's a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of hope that you can be happy again, I'm like, fuck everything. I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to do it. And choop-de-woop-de-woop. Broke up everything and everything went just, I got really rewarded for it. I feel like a lot of times I feel like I got rewarded for standing up for myself.
Yes, I believe it.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, screw imposter syndrome. I know we all deal with it and I still somehow sometimes do, but at the end of the day, I'm like, screw imposter, you deserve it.
Do you listen to Alex Hormozi at all?
No.
You should. You would love him. Him and his wife too. They're entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And, he has a lot of wonderful business advice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, although I'm kind of blanking on why I'm bringing this up. he says that confidence comes from competence.
Mm-hmm.
You will never feel confident until you're competent.
Yes.
And the only way to be competent is to fail and learn, because you will never learn anything from success. You learn everything from failure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And part of failure is not being afraid to look stupid.
Yeah. And believe me, I looked enough stupid in my life.
Same. So,
yeah.
with the podcast, too, like,
mm-hmm.
oh my goodness, there's so many ways to set up a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still, you know, these mics are new. These new lapel mics are fancy, right?
Yes.
And it's like $18 from Amazon.
Great.
And then I got my two phones, my lighting kit. Like, there's so many ways to do it. You just got to turn on a camera and start recording.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a point with my podcast that I was just, especially once we got the $200, I was like, well, what would be fun? Yeah, I was like, let me try starting a podcast. And it was so nerve-wracking for me. And I don't know if I've ever even talked about this before, but like a big, kind of what we touched on before, a big part of, and this isn't really a cultural thing. I don't want to put this as a cultural thing. I think this was just my takeaway from
mm-hmm.
how I was raised
mm-hmm.
and my own insecurities and probably partially PTSD from being bullied. Where I was always dimming my light.
Yeah.
And so also like in the Jewish world, when you want to get married, you want to be very careful about your reputation and what you're putting
mm-hmm.
out into the
yeah.
ether. Right.
I can relate to that. Yes. Yeah.
And so it's like, the other problem is like when you're putting something on the internet, how are people receiving it? Cause you're not there to really clear it up. So
yeah.
they're receiving it however they want to receive it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it just got to a point where like, not only that, recording myself and maybe not even liking how I looked on the camera or how I sounded or whatever it was, but committing to getting better and not being afraid of how I was looking or sounding or what people were thinking. And I made a commitment that no matter what, I was going to get to 100 episodes.
And they say when you get to 100, that's when you make it.
That's right.
So we keep pushing.
I'll talk about the plan that I have actually for the 100th episode.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Really cool.
Okay.
I have a whole event planned. But... I was just, I've learned so much about the technology,
mm-hmm.
but more than that, the confidence it's given me, because I'm up to, I have 41 episodes live, 42 is coming out tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm up to doing one episode a week.
That's amazing.
I was doing it every other week in the beginning because it was just so much to learn and I was just, didn't want to pressure myself. I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right.
Yes.
I didn't even release my podcast for 8 months. I was recording it and not releasing it because I was wanting to hold it close to my heart because I was afraid.
See, but that's also like a kind of like, I love also living by this. Sometimes I really want to do something and I'm scared a little bit, you know, how does the world perceive it and all those things. And then to get the whole pressure off of me, I'm like almost like, well, you know what? I just do it and I don't put it out.
And you do
it. I just do it for myself.
Yes.
And I will see. And then, you know, and then I end up doing it. And then I end up like, just do it. And then always think about it. What's the worst thing that can happen? At the end of the day, okay, it's social media. So what? Like, if you don't want to see it, just turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty in it, too.
I would sweat through my clothes the first 11 episodes. I couldn't feel my tongue. It would be, like, dry, you know? There's been so many hiccups that have happened, some on my end, some on my guests' end, some on other people's. Like, there's been so much to navigate.
Yeah.
But, like, the confidence, the ability that I have to be able to just speak whenever, the ability to be able to create an atmosphere where this kind of deep, meaningful conversation can happen, where I make such awesome bonds with people.
Yeah.
But more than that, like, so here's the thing. Let's say, for example, you're walking on the street and a homeless guy asks you for some cash. You may or may not give it to him, right? But if a homeless guy has a guitar and he's like, hey, if I sing you a song, can you give me a few bucks? What are you more likely to do?
To give it to him, of course, yeah.
To give it to
yeah.
him, right.
Yeah.
So I think that's just in general, like, when we add value to other people's lives, they're more likely to give us the time of day, to give us opportunities and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so, like, I really believe everyone has a story. That's why I'm doing this. But I don't, maybe I'm too shy, or maybe other people may be too busy or not interested for me to be like, hey, do you want to grab a cup of coffee and talk?
Mm-hmm.
But if I ask them if they want to be on a podcast,
yeah.
I get two meaningful conversations with that person because
yeah.
I have the pregame coffee.
Yeah.
And then the podcast.
That's true.
And then from there, either we continue or we don't.
Yeah.
But regardless, I just, it's better than a photo.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I have always been able to have these kind of conversations with people. And I know how lonely life can be.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're going through dark times, you feel like you're the only one who's ever been through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me as a consumer, when I would listen to podcasts of people going through similar things, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not alone. So
that's
I wanted
true.
To recreate that.
That's
I'm like,
true.
Let's just record these amazing conversations because you and I have amazing conversations
yeah.
regardless of whether we're recording.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, let's record and share and make
yeah.
an impact.
I love that. I love that. And I'm so, so happy for podcasts in general. I remember back in the days, back in Germany, of like my best friend there, grew up with her. We were always like, had so much fun. We all got together. We were like a group of girls knowing each other from childhood. We were always hanging out at her house. And we were always thinking like, I wish we could just have a camera and record ourselves about the bullshit we actually talk about.
Literally.
And let's like, look at this. This is the new world.
Yeah.
So you can actually.
You absolutely
yeah.
can. If my grandmother were still alive, she would probably be a co-host.
She would be on it. Yeah.
On it. Take over it.
Your mom's mom or dad's mom?
My mom's mom.
Aww. That's
yeah.
so sweet.
She was a fiery one.
Was she an Aries too?
No, a Pisces, actually. Surprisingly.
My dad was Pisces too.
March 1st. She and my grandfather met when they were 16.
Wow.
And were married for 58 years.
Wow.
For it, until he died.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And they were so in love, but it was a very unique kind of love because he was definitely the man of the house, but she was not a woman. And, she had a mouth of a sailor. She cursed a lot. That's how I got into cursing. We all learned from her. And, like, she would curse my grandfather out. But it was, like, out of love.
Hmm.
And it wasn't until I was in high school that I realized that that was toxic. And that's not how you show love.
Right? You're like, oh, I think, Grandma, you got something a little bit.
But he loved her. He was so in love with her.
Oh, I bet. I mean, 58 years? How many?
58 years married, but they got married when they were 21, but they were together since they were 16.
Wow. My parents actually hit 50 years last summer.
That's so
beautiful. 51
beautiful.
Years this year. I know. It's just amazing to see that.
What's their secret?
Good story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Actually, like, just sticking together, I guess. Like, there's no option out.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people are missing nowadays. Like, it gets hard, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, the commitment. the real commitment. I feel like a lot of people, before they even get married, they feel like, yeah, why not get married? If it doesn't work out, I get divorced. You know?
So what was it about your husband that you were like
getting married to?
Yeah.
So I was engaged twice before and it never felt right to me. So with him, it was the easiest yes that ever came out of my mouth. I just, you know, I moved for him from all the way from Germany, and I never thought in my life I'm going to move from Germany. I'm such a family person, and I love being around my family, friends, siblings. And but that just speaks volumes that I moved for him. He's just amazing. When he asked me, I was like, yeah. And I also remember the wedding day, because we did the courthouse first. And I remember going there and I was just like, I don't know how to explain it. I was so excited and so nervous, but in a good nervous way. Like,
because I cared. Yeah.
But it was so easy. I'm like, now I'm like thinking I was engaged twice and I just couldn't pass this line to actually get married. Especially my first engagement, I felt like I was like, it was a great relationship. And
yeah.
I still didn't, you know, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But with him, easiest yes. It could have been so hard and complicated because he was here and I was there and it's long distance and so many people were against it, and it could have been so easy for us to just say like, no, that's it. But it's easiest yes of my life.
I love that.
It still is. It should do it over and over again.
And you know, you're not the first person who I've met who's talked in that way about like, you have the type of love that I know is destined for me.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many people have that love, so I know it exists. People think it's so rare. It's not necessarily so rare. It's just you have to be patient and not settle for anything less. It is a gift for sure. But it's like when it's easy, when it feels natural, when it feels more natural to be with them than without them.
Yeah.
Like when your husband says, you know, he says to his friends, what was it? It was like,
he always says to his friends, stay single. The goal is to stay single as long as you can until you meet someone and you're like, I don't want to be single anymore.
Yeah.
That's the moment, you know,
I've had such a pivotal moment in my perspective with that, because I'm a lover girl, I'm a romantic, you know, and part of my culture also was to get married so young as well, but it never felt right for me. I never felt quite ready. But there was a few guys along the way where like, if they had been interested, I probably would be married by now. But it's like, it's so interesting to me because I think until just this year, at 28, almost 29, I always thought that like I would be complete once I found someone and felt less and lacking because I didn't have someone. And then I just told this to someone the other day where I was like, I know who I am. I like who I am. I know what I want. And for the first time, like, yeah, sometimes I feel lonely being single, but I feel so at peace.
That's amazing.
And so I think it's because I'm doing something with my life that matters.
Yeah.
And I'm making an impact in the world. And being a wife and a mom, I think, would enhance that. But it's no longer my complete
goal. I like to
enhance
that. Because I feel like when I met my husband also, I was like, for the first time, like truly, truly happy with myself and accomplished. And girl, I learned how to surf, to skateboard, to handstand, all those. Like, I feel like I kind of got everything pushed in like a short amount of time, and I felt so free and great, and I was just feeling whole. And then I met him. But I also believe, and I'm maybe very old school in this, I also believe that like you and your husband, you are one. Once you get married, you are one. I know a lot of people say like, no, you're too big. It's okay. I respect everyone's opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Everyone does it the way they want to do it and the way it works for them. And of course, I'm my bubbly myself, and he is always supportive. I always supportive of him. We like two personalities, but we are one. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like in Arabic, it is the way. Like when you get married, this is kind of the name for being married. Like one, you become one, kind of. And is it not in Hebrew also?
I mean, we believe.
I think the name for marriage is called one, if I'm not wrong about this.
I mean, shirach is a match. I mean, I don't know about that.
It's kind of, yeah, it's
but I know that like,
it's kind of like, imagine like a circle.
Yeah.
And it's like a don't want to say yin and yang, maybe like a puzzle. It's not like just like split in the middle. It's kind of like, this is you, this is him. You run around the world and you match each other and you become one again.
Yes.
It's
your
like,
soul's missing.
Yes. You're searching for your soul and you find your soul and then you become complete.
in Judaism, we believe that 40 days before you're born, mm-hmm. your soul is announced.
Like the destiny is on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I think the problem when people settle or people think that there's a crisis because people haven't found their person
mm-hmm.
is because we have this expectation of the time frame of when
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many reasons why people meet when they meet, like
mm-hmm.
past souls,
yeah.
other lives,
yeah.
you know, like you may, maybe you need to, like, I'm just thinking about even like on my case, like, yeah, it hasn't been easy being single,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, the character development. That's why I was so excited to meet you, because I'm like, I love seeing people who live the embodiment of what I know is to be true.
I love that. That's so sweet of you.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, though. I'm not just being sweet. I'm not really a sweet. I mean, everyone's saying I'm sweet. My mom's like, what is wrong with people? Do they not know you?
No, you know what I mean. I know you have a lot of fire. You have a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's also when people say to me, you're so nice or so kind. I am. I am very nice and very kind, but I have also a very fiery, crazy almost personality.
Yeah.
And yeah. You never know when the crazy comes out.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Not everyone's cup of tea, right?
Not everyone's cup of tea.
Because we're Moroccan tea.
And we like coffee. We like cafe coffee.
Yeah. Because we're Moroccans, we don't drink our tea out of a cup in a cup of tea.
It's like a nice little glass.
I love that. It's so classy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna incorporate that in my coffee shop.
The Moroccan tea?
Yeah.
Oh, you should. Really, you should.
It fits the vibe.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Yeah.
You know, in Morocco, nobody, you know, and no matter what happens, everybody tells you, oh, slow down, wait a minute, I first let me have my cup of tea, like, let me have my tea first until I can focus on this problem. It's always about the tea.
That's how I feel about coffee. So it's so
yeah.
relatable.
It's
so
always
relatable.
About the tea. Yeah,
I love having tea after a meal. That's kind of like my
Ooh,
way of just
mm-hmm.
like,
oh, Moroccans have tea for any like reason.
Yeah.
Oh, after you eat, before you eat,
it's
like,
a hug from
yeah.
the inside out.
It's always like, oh, let's sit down, let's have tea first, and then we can discuss it.
Yeah.
And this is what we did today. Let's sit down, have tea first, and then we can talk about
whatever
you want to talk to me about. Get it out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I love having you on. I love every time that we talk. I think you're such an incredibly special person. And I love what you're building, and I'm so grateful to be part of it.
I'm so grateful to have you.
I have this tradition
mm-hmm.
at the end of my podcast.
Oh my gosh, what is it?
I always ask my guests to share either a life lesson or their favorite, like, quotable quote.
You know, it's very classic, but it always sits with me. Never let the fear of falling keep you from flying.
Mm.
I say this since years, and I will stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never, ever let the fear get too deep into you, because there's a possibility you will fly. And we talked about this, the butterfly thing, you know, like they're caterpillars and they don't even know that they are capable of becoming a beautiful butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something so fiery in them, like so burning in them, that they become butterflies. They turn into butterflies, just the strong ones, just the ones who are not fearful and brave enough and bold enough to do this. And I think this is a lesson. Never let the fear of falling keep you from flying.
Totally.
Bitch. I want to see you guys all fly.
I mean, also, especially because the butterfly,
mm-hmm.
when it's going through like the
mm-hmm.
caterpillar to a chrysalis,
mm-hmm.
it actually dies.
Yeah.
And it's a very painful process.
Yes.
But then it becomes the butterfly.
It's talking about the wall of fear, right? It's
mm-hmm.
very painful to go through those hard times. And a lot of people stop there because it's just like not bearable. Like, you know, I'm not going to do this. You know, you take your, if it's painful and if it's crushing you and if it's, you think it's impossible, just take a break.
Yeah.
It's okay to take a break.
Totally. Go at your pace.
Yes. Go and take a break and, you know, don't stick too long in your pain. You know, take your time. But also not too much time, you know. Don't sweat it too much.
Yeah.
You know, you have to get up again. We cry a little bit about it, and then we put our crown back on, and we keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where magic happens, and this is where butterflies happen.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Just do it scared.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Do it anyways. Yeah.
You're not going to feel confident until you're done.
No. And what's the worst case scenario? What can happen?
Yeah. You always go back to what you've always been doing.
Yeah. I'm like, are you going to be on that, laying on your deathbed and saying, like, I regret that I was so brave. I regret that. No. You're going to just regret those things, the chances you have not taken.
Yeah.
And not the stupid things that you have done. You'll be like, it's good that I jumped out of this car. But a bad example, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, hey, that might be the thing. But I literally was just saying this with the guest that's coming on right before this episode, where it was the place where there are the most dreams that haven't come to reality is a graveyard.
Is it what?
A graveyard.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know?
That's true, yeah.
Like how many dreams have died with people? We covered a lot.
We did cover a lot.
I just like to always open the floor just in case there was something.
I mean, I'm going to start having more workshops in general, like the transformation coaching part of it.
Yeah.
Like to help people transform actually their life, like put it into action, like just not dreaming, like actually putting it into action. So we're starting with doing more workshops, the coaching part of it, the styling, book coming out.
There's a book coming out.
You don't even know?
I'm so excited.
I can tell you. Oh my gosh. Gotta be back on the episode then.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to read it and then
yeah.
We'll do a whole book review.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Amazing.
I'm
yeah.
so excited for
book
you.
Book part in all of it. Yes. So cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Thank
That's a huge God. Accomplishment.
I know. And who would ever have guessed
that I mean,
this person would write a book? Are you kidding? It's not even my first language.
Well, it just goes to show you can do whatever.
Yeah, really. If Cece can do it, who can?
I like how you live by example. Like you're not just like a coach in terms of like encouraging people to just transform and live their lives. Because I think objectively, it's very easy to look at others and be like, oh, you need to do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
But you are actually transforming your own life in so many different areas
mm-hmm.
that it's like you can literally say things like, well, if I can do it, anyone can do it,
yeah.
right? Because
yeah.
you're like, I've done all these things.
Yes.
I've overcome so much.
Yes,
and
that's considering
the best coach,
where, yeah,
you know?
What I had like to go through, like considering where I came from, like with like no language in Germany, then here no language. Like I had to relearn all the like or learn all the languages and just even starting a business in a different country with a different language, with a different law system, and all of those things that alone it was like a top like a the cherry on top of my challenges here.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing people, not knowing connections, like how should I open a business? Where do I have to go? What's legal? What's illegal? Like what should I do? What should I not do? And doing all of this, like not the business part, but doing all of this in Germany, building up yourself and finding friends and finding your place on the table and actually getting like very established there. And then moving away and starting all over again. And without family, like, of course, I have my husband and his family, and God bless their hearts. Like, they're like, I'm so blessed with that family, but still, it's a different level
yeah. Yeah,
to
totally.
Know your safety net. Like, your parents and your siblings are not here to
fall back on.
And, yeah, and we're very like
in your culture for sure. Yeah,
we're very, you know, my culture. You know, we're like, why do you have to come back home? It doesn't matter how old you are, you live at your parents' house, kind of situation. And
yeah.
Then, just being like so far away, it's poof. It's tough.
Yeah. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what can my audience do to support you?
Oh, it's okay. Follow me on CC Sur, S-I-S-I dot Sur, probably down here.
Mm-hmm.
Down there.
Yeah.
Shopsiham.com for fashion and more. For networking, we have networking parties, we have fun, a lot of fun, we have an ambassador program,
mm-hmm.
we have so much. So follow along and they will find out.
Yeah, because you are definitely not done with all the new things that are going to, there's probably things you haven't even thought about that are going to be happening.
Yeah,
and
there's also things that I cannot even talk about that are happening, so I'm very excited for the future, let's
yeah.
put it that way.
I'm so excited for you. This is awesome.
Yeah,
thank you
favorite.
So much.
Thank you, my love.
This is so great.
Pleasure being here.
It was a pleasure having you. Thank you for opening up your home to us.
Always. Merhaba.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this was another amazing episode. I had so much fun. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. And if you are not currently watching, we have a video on Spotify and YouTube. And if you're not already following, what are you doing with your life? Hit subscribe, like, and follow. And, of course, share this episode with a friend. I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's get it.